Patrons, and welcome back to After Dark. Thank you to start with for supporting us on Patreon, and we hope that your After Dark podcast consumption has been enjoyable so far. We're back with another fantastic episode for you. Ashton has the hat full of questions right there that you have submitted. Peter Austin is in his COVID bubble. There he is.
Hello.
He's ready to go, and Ashton is going to attempt to hold up a question for Peter to read.
Thank you for picking it, Ashton. This is from Stephen Norrie, who says, I live a mile away from a hat museum, been living here 13 years and not been in once. What shit niche museum would you like to set up? Thank you, Stephen. Oh. Thank you, Ashton.
Thank you, Peter.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'm sure this probably already exists. There's certainly a Twitter account for it, but I would really like, you know, when you go to the Natural History Museum and they've got all the interesting animals and stuff and fossils and things. Yeah. I would like to have a bad taxidermy Natural History Museum.
That's definitely a I'm almost convinced someone's made that. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there must be a bad taxidermy museum.
It'd be like a roadside
museum.
Attraction in America, I reckon, kind of.
Yeah.
Because they just pick up.
But
the
I want to make a really. I want to make a really big, important one in like an old building in London, like just down from the Natural History Museum. You can go and look at all the normal animals as they should be. And then in some fantastic, you know, old theatre or, you know, old bank building or something, this giant classically inspired thing with pillars and stuff. You go in, it's exactly the same, except they're all just sort of like wonky and weird and have strange eyes.
What's it called, your museum?
The Peter Austin's Bad Taxidermy Museum,
right.
Okay,
think, maybe.
That's good. I mean, that's to the point.
Everyone knows what they're walking into.
Is it just going to play
maybe
the...
just make it slightly creepier by calling it Uncle Peter's Bad Taxidermy
Museum? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Is it going to have the shitty recorder cover of Jurassic Park playing at all times in there?
Just on loop, constantly. Yeah, that's it.
Like that. Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I like it.
You got one, Ashton?
I really think, like, for a shit niche one that, you know, I could just run out of my shed kind of vibes, I feel like maybe I'd just be like, every time I see a jazzy wine bottle, just buy it. And just display it, because there's some jazzy wine bottles out there that are more interesting than the regular wine bottle. I know I'm kind of typecasting myself here as the one that really likes wine, but there was one I saw recently that was like cock-shaped bottle.
A cock-shaped
bottle. Yeah, it had like balls.
A cock-shaped bottle.
Yeah, it had a head as well.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a penis-shaped bottle.
Wow.
That could be the prize of the museum, it is.
The centerpiece.
Yeah.
Centipene.
The centipene, yeah. Okay. That's probably it, really. I don't really have anything else that I'd feel like people would want to come see.
Okay.
Apart from the penis wine bottles.
Apart from the dick bottle.
The dick bottle.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would it be called?
It's called Ashton's Wine House, featuring the cockle.
The cockle.
Yeah.
Okay.
The cockle.
The wine cockle.
The wine cockle.
That's good. I like that.
And you could drink wine while you walk around if you wanted.
Do they have to bring it themselves, though? Because that's a lot of overhead.
No.
You would supply the wine.
Yeah.
Because you just want the bottle.
Yeah.
So I'd be
like, it's a licensed premises.
Yeah, this is a jazzy bottle that eventually will go on the shelf, but I don't like Merlot, so someone else is going to have to drink it.
Right.
Kind of vibes.
I know what Merlot is.
Red wine.
Yeah, the red one.
Yeah.
Because there's like three.
I can imagine Chianti. Things, with, as you move around the museum, all the sort of... the rugs and just this, everything around would just get slightly more disheveled as people get drunker and drunker as they move through the museum.
Yeah.
You know, it'll all be pristine in the first exhibit room, but then by the end, there's like vomit in the corner and people have abandoned their leaflets. There might be like a stiletto heel on its own.
An eyelash that someone's just lost that's stuck to something.
Yeah.
There's a very real chance that these drunk people could knock over several of your expensive
They can't get that close.
Mm. They can't.
That's true.
How close are they? They're
like,
drunk. They can do what they want.
No, they can't.
They can't do what they want.
No, they can't. They're behind glass.
Okay.
Glass bottles behind glass. Bulletproof.
Bulletproof glass.
Bulletproof.
Okay.
In case someone wants to shoot the wine.
Yeah. And there's toilets all the way throughout because you know you're going to need a piss real quick. Yeah. You break the seal in room one, you're fucked in all the rest of the rooms.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go where you stand.
Yeah. No.
Brilliant.
You go
yeah,
to the
no.
one of the many toilets. So that's excellent. What I'd have.
That sounds like a good museum. Mm. Like the sound of that.
What about you?
I'd have a utensils museum.
Mm.
Just for knives, forks, spoons, that kind of stuff. Maybe fancy, maybe not. Maybe some like really weird branded stuff. Like here's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Kid spoon?
Yeah, spoon.
Spork.
Yeah, there'd be an entire wing dedicated to sporks, I think. They would be called...
Do you remember when you used to get those plastic spoons inside cereal?
Mm.
Yes. Yeah.
As, like, instead of a toy, it'd just be like a plastic spoon and it would probably have someone's head on it, like a Donatello or someone.
I do remember those. They were completely unwieldy. You couldn't really use them as spoons. No. They're very shallow. The spork wing would be called the bastard zone because it's not really they're very controversial in the kitchen utensil, the eating utensils world.
Yeah.
Sporks, because they're a bastardization of everything pure about you know, spoons.
Inbred.
Well, sort of,
yeah.
Or maybe it's the perfect killing machine. Who knows? Anyway, the rest of the utensils feel very threatened, so they're just locked away in its own thing. It would be called utensils, more like our utensils.
Mm.
Come on
good.
In.
Come on in.
And donate your utensils.
Is this all? This is still the name?
Yes. There's a colon, written. And then it colon. Just continues on
come
a smaller
on in,
sign.
Donate your utensils.
That wraps around the side of the museum.
Mm.
This is also still part of the name.
And you haven't quite, you've not factored in the font, so it kind of, the end gets really crushed
it
up.
It gets really
because
small.
You've not got enough
yeah,
room.
The kerning just gets smaller and smaller until the letters are layered over each other.
Yeah.
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 And also that is still part of the name.
Yeah.
Full
yeah,
stop.
Full stop.
There's actually still people on scaffolding right now painting all this
as
on because
it
never really stops.
It.
Some sort of existential crisis museum where it's never finished and it's just being conjured up as it's being built.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
We got Ashton.
This comes from John Ainsworth. Yo, Bap. So recently binged Is It Cake on Netflix on a hungover rainy day and it made me think of about some of the craziest reality shows currently out there since Netflix just greenlights everything these days. What is the craziest reality / game show that you would create if Netflix was guaranteed to finance it? Josh.
Guaranteed.
Josh. I watched a weird reality show on Netflix recently. It's called How to Build a Sex Room.
Is it reality? Because I'm confused about what a reality show is. When I think reality show, I think like X Factor.
Big Brother.
Yeah, I suppose, but it is real people and real things happening. It's like, you know, how Homes Under the Hammer, I guess, is also kind of a reality show because it's like they're looking for the houses and stuff. Okay. How to Build a Sex Room was really good.
You just wanted to talk about How to Build a Sex Room.
I did. It's a really fucking good show.
Right. Tell me all,
Ashton.
So there's this
eccentric British woman called Melanie she used to be an interior designer, just a regular one, did like loads of like celebrities' house, and then she got asked to build a sex room, and since then she was like, sex rooms, that's my shit. So now she just builds sex rooms for people. And basically in every episode, she goes to see maybe like one or two couples who want a sex room. And she builds them a sex room. She takes them on a little trip sometimes. So they go out to like go see Dominatrix. Or one time they just took this girl out and they watched two people just whip each other for a bit. And then she got whipped and she was really into it. And then at the end of it, she builds them a sex room, and in almost every room, she's got a St. Andrew's cross, which is like one of those like this shaped things that they're like you can get strapped up to.
Oh yeah,
Is it actually called St. Andrew's
that's
cross?
Apparently what it's called. That's what she says.
Okay,
I guess St. Andrew was maybe crucified on a cross.
Yeah,
like
that's exactly what happened.
Not in the sex.
Not in a
game,
sex
though.
Sexy St. Andrew.
She pulls out like massive like wand vibrators and like whips and stuff out of her bag.
Do you see full penetration?
No.
Well, then what's the point?
It's not
just watch porn, you know?
It's not about that. It's about watching these people build themselves.
It's about the interior design.
It's about the interior design.
It's about the art.
Yeah. It's really good. And she's mental. In the first episode, they buy the couple a spanking bench and they like unpack it in the front garden and she gets on it and she makes her contractor, who's like equally weird, just start spanking her with a flogger thing, and his son is just stood there like, I don't know if mum's gonna be too happy about this. And I was like, I'm sold 100% in on this show. And I watched all 8 episodes in the course of like maybe 3 days.
How long are the episodes?
Is this on Netflix?
Like 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's really good.
Fucking
hell.
It sounds so weird that I feel like I'm going to have to watch one episode now.
You watched the first one.
I can't believe that exists. Yeah. Like, I know that, fucking, what's it called? The one where they get naked on Channel
naked
4.
Naked Attraction.
Well, there's
I watched my first episode of that.
Isn't it fucking fantastic?
It makes me so... I can't begin to describe how uncomfortable it makes me.
Yeah, so it's, like, doesn't work at all.
No.
But... the fact that that exists should... I mean, that's in a way more extreme than just building a sex room because it has full frontal nudity. But it's still... in a way, the sex room thing sounds more bizarre as a concept. It's less... it's slightly less in your face, but it's just like a step removed more into the abstract. That, like, how has that ever been okayed? Wow, okay.
You definitely watch the first episode, then you'll be hooked, and you have to watch all the rest of the episodes.
Well, yeah, sounds like it.
The hook.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. The St. Andrew's hook.
Yeah.
What's
the reality game show that you would create if Netflix was guaranteed to finance it?
Yeah,
I haven't got one because I was too busy thinking about that.
I mean, at that point, I thought we were just talking about... reality shows that we'd watched. I forgot what the question was. I was trying to think. Yeah. I haven't watched any reality shows. I don't watch those.
I've got one. Mm. It's like, I'm not saying I would actually like this to really happen because it's really cruel. But equally, in the world of fantasy, I want Netflix to finance this, right? I want there to just be a battle arena. Where it's called in and you have to read it in a sort of kind of 10-year-old's voice, all right? It's called "What Would Win Out of," right? And then in the arena they have like a rhino and like a tiger,
yeah.
And then they just fight. And then next week they might have like a whole pack of baboons and one lioness. And it's called "What Would Win Out of..." dot, dot, dot. And that's
Couldn't
it.
One episode have Sir Killalot from Robot Wars in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they could get more... it's not just animals, actually. They could have, like,
Ashton
Sir Killalot versus...
or Hypnodisc.
Yeah.
What would win out of?
Exactly. Definitely Hypnodisc. Yeah, imagine if Hypnodisc attacked you in the legs. That would be terrible.
Well, don't let it get your legs. Just pick it up.
Yeah, no. Just go behind it and
pick
just like
it up.
Grab it, hold it up above your head.
What's it going to do then, huh?
Flip it upside down.
Yeah, exactly.
What's it going to do? Mm-hmm. It's not autonomous. I just get a jammer, so whoever's controlling
it. Exactly, just run up and punch the person with the controller.
Punch the person.
Because they'll have to be
throw Hypnodisc at the person.
Because at that point, if it was Ashton Matthews versus Hypnodisc, then Hypnodisc would have to be autonomous, which it isn't. So it would just be... not moving. It would just be sat there versus you, and you could just kick it, just throw it over the border wall or whatever. You know, great, perfect.
The disc would be spinning. They'd probably be allowed to just turn it on and then put it down. But yeah, at that point, when it's 3-2-1 go, it's just sitting there going at 800 RPM.
What would happen if you put Hypnodisc's disc on a Roomba?
You'd lose your ankles pretty quick, like, I reckon.
Death and devastation. Yeah.
Because I think it would... I'm trying to work out, and I think I know the answer, that the disc would be moving too fast for the Roomba to be able to...
just take off.
Yeah, where it would either take off, or it would just fall over and just start flying around because the disc keeps making contact with the floor.
Yeah.
So...
You'd have to give it, like, super suction so that it glues itself to the floor.
Yeah. Or just put a really base on your Roomba so it has
this
a low center of
gravity. This
will be
how Robot Wars started. Just, like, how beefed up can we make our Roomba before it becomes an issue?
Yeah, might just be a Roomba, but they need a really heavy case to put on it.
There'd be the sound of the disc spinning, which I don't know if you remember, but when it used to get up to full speed, you could actually hear it, like, humming. Mm. And, like, the commentator used to comment on it. You'd have that going, like, on top. And then on the bottom, the Roomba would be desperately clamping on, like, a limpet to the floor with its Hoover. It would just be an absolute din.
God.
It'd be great.
Can we make a Henry Hoover battle ready, is what I want to know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just keep the face.
I mean, that's you know, it's a perfectly good contender for what would win out of.
Yeah, Hypnodisc or Henry.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Neither.
So that's my show.
Brilliant. That's a good show.
I don't think I can top that. I don't have one.
You don't have
one?
Do
you have
one? No.
Okay. We should move on then.
Yeah, all right.
You don't want to build sex rooms for people.
I don't think I'd be very good at it. Well, she was working out things that I've never even heard of.
But did they want those things, though?
I don't know. You might know what people actually want.
Because you're not a complete fucking lunatic, right?
Yeah.
So I've got another question now about that.
Okay.
Is she basically just filling a room with just toys she's bought from Ann Summers or whatever? Or is she like, is she doing actual interior design and like
interior design
carpentry and
in
stuff?
In one that she knocks down like three walls. Like
dungeon-y.
No. That's kind of the whole thing. They're like, we don't want it to look like a dungeon. Some of them do still look a bit like a dungeon. There's one where like it was a polyamorous like family of like six people, and they knocked through two different walls so that they could like make one big room. And they made like a 9-foot bed so they can all shag on it together.
Wow.
And then one girl, she wanted a place where everyone could piss on her and it would go down the drain. And so she had to install the drain in the
floor.
That's
a shower. So many of these things you've described are already in houses. Well, like the spanking bench.
A wet
room. Just a bench. Just spank them anywhere. A sex room is any room that you want it to be.
Yeah, so basically, like, she'd make the shower bigger so that they could fit all six people in it so that they could all piss on her together.
That is so
wholesome. See, that's the thing, isn't it? It's not just that she's got a thing for being pissed on, but she wants enough space that five people can piss on her all at once.
And she wants the convenience of not having to deal with the mess afterwards.
Yeah, just go straight down the drain.
Yeah.
A family that piss together, stay together.
Yeah.
After all.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'll probably end up watching it.
Let's be real. Everyone's going to watch it tonight. After people watch this, everyone's going to go watch How to Build a Sex Room.
How to Build a Sex Room.
How to build a sex room.
Okay. And what's her name? Melody?
Melanie something.
Melanie.
Melanie something.
I bet she's got some mental last name. Is she quite posh?
She's quite posh.
Okay.
But I don't remember what her surname is. But as soon as it kicks off, you're like, she's great.
I had some voiceover training from someone called Fenella Fudge once.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was posh.
That it does sound posh.
It's like a Roald Dahl character,
isn't it?
I remember you telling me that before.
Like Melanie should be called Melanie Mellon or something
like
that.
Yeah, should I have a look what her full name
is? Yeah, I really want to know. Okay.
Melanie Cantaloupe, perhaps.
Okay. This question is from Stephen Norrie. Which is your favorite of the seven deadly sins to indulge in? Peter, as someone who has access to a computer, could you remind us of the seven
Melanie
deadly sins?
Melanie Rose is her name.
Really? That's not as fun.
It's a bit boring.
Okay.
Seven deadly sins. I know some of them.
You got
sloth is
mine. Gluttony is mine. I already know one.
Gluttony, lust, sloth, jealousy.
Right,
sexiness.
Here we go.
Sex.
Pissing. lust, gluttony. Yeah. Greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride.
Mm. Probably lust.
Our favourite.
I think people could do with being a bit more proud, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not everyone.
Yeah.
No.
If it reaches the point where it's a sin,
as soon as I go onto the TV and I say, I want six people to piss on me, please build a room for that. Maybe that's got too far.
That might be too far.
For now, just like shagging, that's okay, and I'm happy with that.
Well,
so lust is my favourite.
Okay, but you want to do lust to the extent that it's a deadly sin.
Well, no, but it's not... You don't necessarily have to do it to that level.
Okay,
you're going to do gluttony to the level
that
it's
a deadly
sin.
I also like sex, but I would... I also like pizza, so I don't know.
Yeah, but if I had to do one thing until I got unwell, I'd rather do sex until I got unwell than eat food until I got unwell.
I'd rather eat until I die than fuck
until I die.
Because my body would fall apart.
Although, that's the thing. Although sex, I would say, is better than food, I would rather feel full and unwell than, like, have my knob broken off. Do you know what I mean? Like, that sounds way worse.
There are
like,
bits of a men's penis that can snap.
Yeah, I know that. I just, I suppose for me, it's a bit less effort, really, most of the time.
Not necessarily.
Right.
Depends
if you got one of Melanie's sex rooms,
that's
you know?
True. That is true.
But that's a sin. That entire show is a sin. Can we add that? Is that the eighth deadly sin? Melanie's sex room show?
Melanie's sex room show.
That's a sin.
What's it called?
How to Build a Sex Room.
How to Build a Sex Room is the eighth deadly sin, yeah.
For me, it's definitely gluttony, I think. I don't want to be so angry that I die, you know?
But I don't think that's the question. I thought it was okay, just right, which me, of it's your favourite it. To indulge me... in. It doesn't say you have to indulge
okay,
in it to
fine.
A level
I'm
that's
taking it to the. I'm taking it to the nth degree. I don't want to... That's really hard, though, because for me, it would be between sex and food. And yeah. I don't want to have to choose because I really like food and I also really like sex.
Yeah.
So which is it? I don't.
Maybe
I can't
you could get into what's it called? The food, you know, food play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just combine it. But the thing is, I'm not. If you're not into that, then it removes the pleasure of both.
No. Yeah, I can imagine that
ruins it.
I mean, I'm not trying to yuck anyone's literal yum,
yeah,
but for me,
literally.
I don't like the idea of getting sticky and kind of, you know, getting sugar and
yeah.
And also, there's kind of only
God knows what
limited foods that you could do that with. Like, you couldn't have like a full roast dinner.
Couldn't.
In a sexy
no.
way.
Unless you, in your sex room, built some sort of chassis for your partner.
Melanie
could
work
where
it
you
out.
Could eat off their back, you know, while you're busy,
yeah.
while you're busy doing whatever it is you're doing. You have a little tray on their back.
That's
harness.
Definitely like someone's like, if they're like submissive to a dominant, they've absolutely had someone eat food off their back.
For sure, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And yeah. worse.
I mean, tie a tray to them.
I wouldn't like hate just you sitting in bed eating that a lovely bowl of pasta.
Right.
You know, having a quick pit stop break and then getting back to it.
Okay.
Though I would feel too bloated and I'd say we'd have to wait half an hour.
Yeah, the thing is, you might get indigestion doing
that's
that.
That's true. Or a stitch.
If you fill up on pasta. Yeah, or a stitch.
You can't eat a big meal and have sex. It's not possible.
No.
No.
Whenever
it's
date night, I'm
very
like, we can't eat afterwards because I'm going to be too full. So we have to eat before because
yeah.
otherwise I'm going to be too full.
Yeah, no, that is yeah. a genuine concern. Peter, what do you think?
What's your favourite sin?
I mean, you made a good point earlier, Ben, which is that people should have a bit more pride in themselves. But then, you know, I don't know.
Don't want to be a knob about it.
In fact, isn't that what... That's what Jordan Peterson got banned from Twitter for saying. Is he said... I think he was taking a pot shot at like the LGBT community and said, remember when pride used to be a sin?
I thought he got...
Basically implying that pride shouldn't be a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I thought he got banned because he... He misgendered and deadnamed Elliot Page and then proceeded to say
yeah, it
that
was
he
all...
didn't care and he wasn't going to apologise. So they were like, okay, then you're banned.
Yeah, it was all in one tweet.
Yeah.
The tweet about Elliot Page was, remember when pride was a sin? And then he did his strange rant on YouTube where he says, up yours, woke moralists.
Wow, I've fortunately never heard of this guy, but he
I
sounds
I hadn't heard of him
great.
Until this. He's just some massively like Republican, Christian... American guy.
Great.
Massive
he's a psychologist. He's like a clinical psychologist and he like shot to fame for a brief period where people only realized that he was saying sometimes some interesting things about people. And then like the more he said and the more yeah, the more he said and the more people heard about him, they're like, what's he saying
terrible.
Now? And now he's yeah, just really kind of outed himself as being pretty bigoted at times.
Excellent.
So anyway, yeah, people should have a bit more pride. Maybe not be so proud that they die, if that's what a deadly sin
yeah.
is. I don't even know if that's
no,
exactly what
no,
it means, but yeah.
Does,
but yeah, within reason, maybe we should all be a bit prouder of ourselves.
Okay. I think we covered all bases
yeah.
there.
Sloth. No, I'm going to sleep till I die, actually.
Okay.
Sloth is the one.
Mm. Forever. Can you
yeah.
read that, Peter?
Can you read this, Peter?
Hang on, I tabbed over to the seven deadly sins. Right, this is from Cameron Keywood, who says, if you could have dinner with three individuals, living or dead, who would they be? The only rules are, one guest must have some link to either Star Wars or Scooby-Doo.
Okay. Well, living or dead.
I would have dinner with Rian Johnson dead.
Wow.
No, that's not true. I'm only... That's just the stock answer. When someone says, who would you have dinner with, living or dead? You have to pick someone and then say, I would have dinner with them, dead.
Yeah.
And the Star Wars primed me. I don't want Rian Johnson dead. It's fine. Okay, well, I guess I'll pick a... Yeah, that's right. I guess I'll pick a Star Wars character. That's easy for me. Maybe... I'd quite like to have dinner with Ewan McGregor. He seems nice.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Seems like a lovely man. And he's been all around the world on his motorbike as well.
Yes, the
so
long way around.
Long Way Round and The Long Way Down. Yes. He'd have a lot to talk about.
My dad had both of those books.
Yeah. I would have dinner with my paternal grandfather, who died before I was born. And I've always thought, oh, it would have been nice to meet him and talk to him. He fought in the war and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'd really like to chat to him.
How's he related to Scooby-Doo?
Don't have to all be, just one of them.
Only one. Okay.
He was wearing a mask the whole time and was actually the janitor. He's not my granddad at all.
Damn.
And he would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those rotten
meddling kids.
Nazis.
Meddling Nazis.
Yeah. He didn't die in the war, I should say. So I'd like to meet him. Mm-hmm. And oh, I don't know. Maybe you guys should go next. I'm trying to think of a third one.
I've got two. And I'd have dinner with Carrie Fisher, obviously when she was alive.
Yeah.
With Padgett Brewster, because I love her. And probably Brie Larson, because she just seems cool.
Is that it?
Okay.
Yeah.
She just seems cool.
Yeah, I'm going to hang out with her.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say to have to be really influential and like, my granddad's dead too. But maybe I should go with him.
That's not what I'm saying.
Do I have to have my dead granddad there? Apparently he wasn't very nice.
Ashton,
so maybe I'll just have Brie Larson there. If that's all right.
Jesus. Just meant that you want to have sex with her. That's all I was implying.
Yeah.
That's it.
She doesn't
have
to have sex with me. I just would like to talk to her about it.
If it'll help the future.
Show her my sex.
if it will help to defuse this situation, I've thought of my third one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna recycle the dead joke, and I'm gonna have Scrappy Doo dead.
Ah, nice. Okay, that's good. I like that.
Yeah. He is the main course.
Okay.
He's under a cloche with an apple in his mouth.
Yeah.
Mm.
Puppy power, my ass. You don't even eat him. You just look at him like, dick.
Hate that guy.
I would have Ashton's grandfather.
Yeah.
His name's John.
John. I'd have John. I would have Liam Neeson.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Star Wars. And no, I do think John should be at yours, so I'll leave John.
He's not coming to mine. He's not invited. I've picked Brie Larson over.
That's fine. I would have Liam Neeson, my uncle, who I never met, and who's a cool guy?
Or girl?
No. No girls allowed. only boys.
What about Melanie
Rose? Yeah,
Rose.
On the
Rose.
Sex Room show.
No, she's. I think she'd intimidate me. I'd have Alison Brie because I think she's interesting.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I did mean that. Like, I genuinely think Brie Larson's interesting.
Yeah, I know.
But
I was just teasing
you.
I was just teasing you because you made it sound like that's the only thing that you like about Brie Larson, and that's definitely the only reason she would come to your dinner party.
Yeah,
I just think she's neat.
I just think she's neat.
That would be my three.
Nice.
Carrie Butchter, thank you for the question. Hello all. Did anyone have security blankets or favourite stuffed animals as a child? Maybe a favourite toy? Thinking of a certain eye-flashing Batman.
Ooh. Yes. I do have an eye-flashing Batman. A big animated series Batman was a favourite toy of mine. I still have him.
Mm.
And he still works. Press the button on the back and his eyes flash up, and so does the symbol on his chest. I did have a bear, though.
Did you?
He's called Teddy. The Teddy.
Yeah.
And I still have him. He's at my parents' house somewhere.
I had a blanket, a little white blanket with like label material all around the side, like silky feeling, that I think I've had since I was a baby. And it's like, as I got older, it gradually got less and less soft and like had big holes in it from where like the lace had kind of like separated out.
Mm.
I must be somewhere in my parents' house. It was only when I think I still slept with it kind of like near my bed, at least until I went to uni. I didn't think I took it with me.
Right.
But it was like either kind of in my bed or like under my pillow, even when I was like a teenager.
Okay. Did you have a name for it?
It's just Blankie.
Blankie.
Mm.
That's a good one.
Blankie. Yeah.
Nice.
My sister had this blanket that from when she was pretty much a baby or like a toddler that my grandma had made, actually. And it was all around the edge. It had like kind of ruffly trim. Mm. And there was this like one specific ruffle. So it was like a good like meter or two square. But there was this one specific ruffle somewhere on the edge that my sister got into the habit of like just having against her hand when she was like really, really small. And it would like that specific bit would give her like comfort. And then when she got rid of the blanket when she was a bit old for it, my mum kept that one specific ruffle and she used to sleep with that for a little bit longer. Just this tiny little patch of fabric and like have it just in her hand, which is kind of interesting. But I didn't have a blankie, but I had a little Spot the Dog. If you guys are aware of Spot the Dog, Ben will be.
Yeah, I know.
Yes.
Or maybe not.
I think so. Yeah. I might need to see it.
It was actually, I think that was actually my second teddy because there's a photo of me pretty much just born. And in the cot with me is my, what turned into my second favorite teddy, which was a Noddy, which had like a bell on his hat and it would like jingle. So I had the Noddy and the Spot the Dog, but they were kind of the wrong way around in terms of my preference and the order in which I got them, because Spot was definitely, he was the one.
He was
my
one.
Dude. Mm. And he's still there somewhere. He's in my parents' house.
Nice.
Yeah. I also once, I went to the circus.
Yeah.
And we were in the raffle, entered the raffle, and I won the raffle, and they pulled my ticket out, and the clown pulled my ticket out and like called the number down. I was a bit scared because I had to go down to the ring and like get the prize. Yeah. And I thought he was going to clown me, but he didn't. He gave me this really nice sort of round black teddy bear. Mm. And for like 2 or 3 years afterwards, you could still smell the sawdust and like the candy floss and all the circus smells in it. In a nice way. It was like, oh yeah, smells of circus. And it was like a very happy memory for me. So I really liked that bear too.
Amazing.
Cute.
Yeah.
Got another question.
Oh yeah.
It's from Fergus Jeffs. Scenario. You can only watch 3 Disney movies for the rest of your life. Your choices can include any film offerings produced by the House of Mouse, including Disney animated movies, traditional and CGI, Disney live action movies, Pixar movies, the MCU, The Muppets, Star Wars, Disney Channel original movies, and Disney Plus exclusives. With all that explained, which 3 Disney movies would each of you choose and why? Choose wisely, your forgotten media pal.
So do we think
Sorry,
that's okay. Do you think it's just those 3 movies? Like, they're the only ones you're ever allowed to watch. You can watch, like, you know, a Warner Bros. Film as well, or you can't watch a Warner Bros. Film ever again.
So,
yeah, I think it's just of all those categories, you can only watch 3 movies, right. And then out of in other, you know, other movie makers, you can watch their stuff. But that's way harder that you opened it up like that. I thought he was just going to say, you know, either traditional animation or, you know, just what you kind of immediately think of when you say Disney movies.
Yeah.
But like the fact that Marvel and Star Wars and Pixar and everything is in there, that's way harder. Mm. That out of all that, you can only watch 3.
Mm.
Thor Ragnarok.
I knew you were going to say that.
Star Wars Episode 1. Mm-hmm. Which sounds like I'm taking the piss, but I'm not. And probably should have a Disney movie in there too. Although I've never really been that partial to Disney movies. So maybe Toy Story 2.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
I'd have Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have Star Wars Episode 1 as well. Also not taking the piss. I think that's a really good film. And I could pick one more, which would probably be either Revenge of the Sith or A New Hope. But then I've just filled up with 3 Star Wars movies, which makes it very difficult. But being such a fan, it seems difficult to like just ditch. You know, it seems a wasted opportunity to try and cling hold of at least 3 of the films. I would have Episode 1, Episode 6, and Episode 3, actually. I do really like Revenge of the Sith. I think it's a good film.
Okay.
I would have High School Musical 2. Then I would have...
Not taking the piss.
I'm not taking the piss. I'm not taking the piss.
No?
High School Musical 2.
Mm.
Then I would have Tangled.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And then maybe potentially have maybe Endgame, Avengers Endgame, potentially.
Okay. I'd like to swap Thor Ragnarok for Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was wondering why you hadn't. I thought that was going to be in there as well.
The Guardians haven't been around for so long.
Mm. So yeah, those are my three.
Okay. Excellent.
That's way too hard, though, that question. That's, like, ridiculous.
Especially as Disney owned most of cinema.
That is true.
Yeah, it should have just been... It would have been a lot easier if it was just which very clearly Disney movies would you save?
Mm.
Sorry, I did swap someone out, but that's only because it was another Stephen Norrie question. We've already had two, so I thought I'd give someone else a chance.
Okay.
This is our last question. Is it this one?
Is it?
I think so.
Okay.
We've only done two each. But...
From Stephen Skodes, who says, "Hello, Bap. What is the most satisfying meal you've had while on holiday?" Oh. I think I've talked about this before, possibly even on After Dark, but I'll just tell it quickly. We went to, me and Amy went to Krakow, or Krakow, however you want to, if you want to get pronunciation about this. And while we were there, we went to a Corsican restaurant because, you know, when in Rome, eat Corsican food. And,
of course you can.
We ordered this beef fondue thing, but it wasn't cheese fondue. It was, they brought this bowl of boiling acid of boiling oil, sorry. Like just, yeah, a vat, then put it in the middle of our table, and then all around the bottom there are all these little cubes of raw beef and like little bits to go with them, and then you've got a skewer with it each, and you would stab the beef and you would dip it in this thing and it would go and you would cook it and eat it, and it was delicious. And you know, you get the kind of the fun of being able to stab it and stuff. If someone just brought a plate full of cubes of cooked beef, it would be really boring. But I think the fun aspect of cooking it yourself, and you know, you've got the sound and the smell, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Not necessarily, I'm not saying it was the nicest meal I've ever had, but definitely pretty satisfying for sure.
Amazing. That sounds good. It's making me very hungry.
Yeah, I'm really hungry now.
Excellent.
I'm trying to think. I mean, of the recent, like, the only thing I can think of is because I recently went on holiday is Rome. And we went out for dinner on the first day that we got there. And we'd been out and about since, like, 3 a.m. because obviously we'd been traveling to the airport and wandering around the, like, streets and stuff. And we just went to this place that was really close by. And, Ben got a carbonara that was really good, and I got this, like, it was like just spicy tomato pasta with like bacon basically, but the pork there and the pasta there was just like unreal. And I remember just sat there and I was like, it's the best meal I've ever eaten. I've never had food like this. And it's just basically just like a pasta, but my god, because we did it out all day and we were so tired, and like I had like one glass of wine and I finished the food and I was like, it's time to go to bed now. I'm done now. I'm tired. But like, my god, that pasta was really good. The pork that they have on like the pasta in Rome is just unbelievably good. Could just eat it forever. So that's probably mine.
Nice.
I think.
I was just Googling what was in mine because I wasn't sure.
I think I've talked before about how when I was a kid, we were on our way to the airport once, and it was a really early flight. We had to get up at like 4 a.m. And at 6 a.m., we stopped at a Little Chef, right? Yes. And I just got like a bacon sandwich. That's all it was. It was just bacon, fried bacon in a white muffin. And I was so hungry because I'd not had breakfast. It is, at the time, it was probably the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. Purely because of like the hunger aspect.
Yeah.
It was just some like shitty Little Chef bacon bap. But just that in that moment, it was the greatest thing I've ever had. I remember thinking, I've never had a better meal than this.
It sounds good.
It does sound good.
Go for one of those. I recently went on holiday, and there was I don't think we had any Croatian food the entire time we were there, just because all the places nearby were just like chips, burger, pizza, all the comfort foods. And I had I think it was called a crispy bacon burger. And it was basically, I think it might have been the best burger I've ever had in my entire life, because it was two thick patties, and then they put some other stuff in it. There was bacon in it. There was cheese. And then they put this, I'm not sure what it was. It was almost like a creme fraiche kind of thing on it as well. So it was like, it felt really premium. And it was so tasty, like really, really flavorful. And we ended up going back there and I had it again.
Nice.
But I didn't have that one. I had a different one, but it was very similar.
Yeah.
It was, they just swapped out the bacon for more cheese, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it was phenomenal. So that's...
I'm so hungry.
Yeah,
now.
I know. It is very much lunchtime. But as satisfying as that was, the other thing I was going to say was cassoulet.
Mm.
Every time I used to go on holiday to France with my family, we used to get tins of cassoulet from the supermarket. It's just so good. And if you're not sure what cassoulet is, because I often forget what's in it because I haven't had it for a long time, it's a French dish of white beans baked with meats. So it's just sort of like...
It's stewy, isn't it?
Yeah, stewy, savory beans with very soft meat in it. It's really flavorful and very, very, very tasty. And you can have it with all sorts of stuff. And I love cassoulet. I think it's delicious. So there's my other answer. I think we've hit time.
I think so.
I think it's time for lunch. And Peter, you've got to get ready for your wedding, which at the time of recording is very, very soon.
Yeah.
It's exciting. So we want to thank you very much for supporting us on Patreon and also submitting your questions. This should be the last one that's recorded way in advance.
Mm.
From the next one on, we should return to normal in that we'll be recording a week before.
So there won't be a question post releases. For the next maybe 2 weeks, and then eventually it'll be back on track again. It's because Peter's off for 2 weeks because of his honeymoon.
Yes.
So we wanted to make sure we were all here. So there won't be one for 2 weeks, and then the question post will come back again, I promise.
Absolutely. Thank you again for all your support. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you very soon for another edition of After Dark. Bye.
Bye-bye.